Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host. And today I had the privilege of interviewing Faye Brazil. And Faye is the owner and founder of OK Clarity. And actually, this episode has been sponsored by OK Clarity. So you'll hear about them about 10 minutes in. And I had so much fun interviewing her. And we actually had like a really cool back and forth about like how she started her business and why it was important to her and how it came to be. And then towards the end, we were talking about intuitive eating and health at every size and how it so informs therapist work and how we need to educate the public, but we also really need to educate the therapists out there. And I see that a lot in my practice because I have clients come in who were either referred to me by a therapist who kind of knows about intuitive eating but doesn't really, or a therapist who used the model on themselves or with their clients and they love it, or they just don't know and they might have even made the client's disorder eating or eating disorder worse. So there's just so much education that we have to do in terms of the mental health space, and it's amazing to see that we're breaking the stigma of mental health in the from world but and the Jewish world at large, but we definitely have to do more work. So I think this is a great episode, and Faye and I could continue to speak, and we have a lot more to discuss, and I just think she's really cool, and I think that her business is really cool, and you could actually go to okclarity.com and find me there and find a bunch of other mental health professionals or professionals in general, dietitians and therapists, psychiatrists, coaches on that website, and they're all Jewish and vetted by OK Clarity, which I think is so, so, so important, and I just think that it's really, really filling a need in the Jewish world. So go Faye. Thanks for coming on. And if you like this episode or any of the other episodes, please subscribe to this podcast as well as my YouTube channel, which is just Gila Glassberg. You could listen to many, many more episodes at the podcast Get Into It with Gila, as well as a lot of the episodes have been uploaded to YouTube. If you're more the type of person that likes to watch it, I really, really appreciate all your feedback and your likes and subscribes and shares. And that's how we spread this message. If you are interested in working with me one-on-one, you can reach out to me at gilaglassberg18@gmail.com. You could just go to my website, gilaglassberg.com, and you could send me an email there, or you could set up a time to discuss. And I really look forward to hearing from you. And I also hope that your summer is going well and smoothly and that it's relaxing. Okay, have a great day. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Get Into It with Gila. I know you're going to love the content here because you will gain inspiration, powerful tools and insights, and valuable knowledge. If you want more of this, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or visit me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. I'm Gila Glassberg, a registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. I have come to realize by counseling many, many women that this work is much deeper and greater than food and body image. It's the bigger picture challenges we face of love, belonging, acceptance, what our true values and goals are, noticing them, addressing them, and gaining skills to move forward. If you have been struggling with what your life's purpose is, or you just feel stuck in general and don't know what's holding you back, this podcast will enlighten and inspire you to take action and move forward. This podcast is about other women in the 21st century who feel that losing weight will fix all their problems or somehow meet their unmet needs. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host. And today I have with me Faye Brazil. Hi, Faye. How are you?
Hi. Nice to be here.
I'm so happy that you're here. I know you have a very busy schedule, so I'm really, really happy that we found the time.
Yes.
Okay, so let's start with introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you live? What do you do?
Sure. So I'm Faye Brazil. I live in Brooklyn, Flatbush, and I'm a therapist. And more recently, I guess I consider myself more of an entrepreneur, even though I practice as a therapist. And I started OK Clarity. I would say it's like 7 years now, which is crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And really, first, it started more as an online forum community for people to connect. Just want to breathe. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe through it. Yeah. I got this all the time in the beginning. Like, totally.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cool with it because I'm like, this is not going to stop me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, so basically, I was a therapist in the clinic setting, And we had, I noticed that like so many people had the same issues, and there was nowhere for them outside to, like, outside of our sessions to connect with each other. And that really bothered me because, as a therapist, you probably know this just being a nutritionist, you feel like so much closer to, like, you feel so much more able to speak with people that are your colleagues about mental health, probably nutrition, intuitive eating, et cetera. And like, it just feels so good to have that really, those relationships. As a therapist, you have that too. Like, all your friends are therapists or in the therapy world. And my clients didn't have that. And like, it really bothered me. So we started this online forum community where people would connect with each other. It was kind, there was nothing really like it. People really liked it once we, started it. It was very basic. I built it up myself on Wix. I was totally not tech savvy, but I loved like the space getting into it. And it was taking off very slowly, very organically. And then around, like, I would say like a year into it, or maybe even 6 months, I was transitioning to private practice. And I felt so like lost again. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is maybe how my clients feel like in their world. But I was like, how do I market myself? How do I get myself out there? I completely was like lost. And I was like, why doesn't the Jewish community have a an online like directory the same way, the non-Jewish world has it, like Psychology Today or these other, competitor directories. And I started, since I already had this like online forum, we iterated and kind of invested, hired a developer to build a directory attached to it, and started, reaching out to people. Totally wasn't an entrepreneur at that point, but I had that, like, I guess energy in me that I was brave enough to reach out to people. And a couple of professionals came on, and they were doing amazing. Like, they were getting referrals. We were building their kind of like online presence, online brand. And I was like, I really believe that this is something that could be much bigger than it is. We can have therapists, we could have coaches, we could have nutritionists. Like, the world is going online. Why doesn't the Jewish community have this? It doesn't make sense. And that's kind of how it all snowballed. And then we, as we picked up a bit of momentum, I kept just investing more time, energy, resources, finances. And this past November, we relaunched the newest like version of our site. Like, we completely rebuilt it ground up, focusing mostly on the directory, because as we were building, and we kind of started this WhatsApp status, which has grown to over 8,000 people at this point. And that's kind of like the community piece, the Instagram or WhatsApp. We do AMAs all the time, and we do lives all the time, and we have people like you doing lives on Instagram and podcasts. And I feel like there's already that community sense around OK Clarity, where people do feel that sense of community. I'm not saying there's not a need for a forum, but right now we focus on that, the community piece and the directory. And right now the directory is a place where people can come and find therapists, psychiatrists, nutritionists, coaches. And we're very careful in terms of like vetting every single person. So it's not just, if you pay, you come on. It's really about quality assurance. Obviously, there's no perfect system. We take feedback seriously. And it's kind of a full-time job at this point. Like, I work for OK Clarity. You know what I mean?
Right,
Like,
yeah, yes, totally. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, I'm gonna go back a few steps. Okay, so did you always want to be a therapist?
did I always want to be a therapist? I think I always had like a calling to it because my mom was a therapist, and it was just like very spoken about in my family. I always, and it wasn't like I grew up in like, I'm the typical like Bisiako. I went to seminary in Israel, and it was like, become a speech therapist. I was like, no way. My sister became a speech therapist. I was just like, I can't do that. I don't know. Like, it didn't speak to me at all. Like, pardon the pun. And then like OT, I was like, I don't even, I still till today, I don't know what that is. So like, no thanks. Nutrition was like not even so much a thing like 10 years ago, I don't think, as much as it is now. And I didn't, it wasn't as like interesting to me. What were the other options? Speech, OT, PT. I was like, also no way. So I was like,
PA,
yeah, PA. No, I don't
nurse.
like, no, anything medical. I still
Anything
like,
like
even
that?
till today, I'm just like, no,
Yeah,
I can't even listen to
totally.
it. Yeah. Like, anything with blood, I'm like, count me out. So it was more like in the mental health. And I was always into these like I enjoyed, I guess only once I became a therapist, I got more into podcasts and personal growth and all that. I can't say I was into that as a kid. It was just that I was definitely like in tune to people's thoughts and feelings. Like, I was, that friend that was like the listener more than the talker, But I can't say I was like, oh, always like the therapist in my group or in the family. I wasn't. I was, more, and once I became a therapist, I became the official therapist in every situation.
So when you started, I guess when you started your schooling, you were like, okay, I got it. This is what I want to do. Or was it more like it just kind
It
of,
was
I don't
like, it
know.
just made sense. I was kind of like, I was more of like, I feel like I was in a rush. Like, I don't know if that's like a personality thing, but like, I got my bachelor's when I was in pretty much like in the summer between high school and seminary. I got most of my bachelor's. I went to seminary.
My gosh.
I didn't want, I went to BJJ, so I didn't want to
Yeah.
take like my studies there too seriously. And I knew that everyone cared about their marks because they wanted to use them for credits. I was like, I care about my marks the whole high school. I want to enjoy seminary. I don't want to care about that. So I'm going to not have to, worry about getting my credits. So I did like a ton of, you were able to do like the Read Write testing. I took like maybe 50, 60 exams in 2 months.
Wow.
So all I had to do during the year of seminary was like my capstone course. And I kind of had it in my brain that like, yes, when I come home, I will go for this, get this degree, be done in 2 years. And I'll just like, my mom was very into having a degree. She's like, I don't care what you do with it. I don't like, just like a woman needs to have her degree. So if this is what you're deciding, and it happens to be that once I became a therapist, I was like, did I do the right thing? Because I couldn't see myself sitting for 40, like 40 hours a week talking to people. I was like, it's just not my personality. Like I need to be more of like a mover and shaker. I need to be coming and going. And I felt like it was just too much, too heavy. And that's, I think, why like OK Clarity and building something connected to therapy, but more in the business world really spoke to me, because it was kind of that blend of really using psychology, being able to still have a private practice, but being more doing something that I felt more spoke to my personality. But like, I never would have thought to go for a business degree or to just start a business out of the blue. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do this and be this for the rest of my life. It was more like, this makes sense. And I definitely could see myself enjoying it. And then there was a time when I was like, I can't do this forever. But then that was like around the time when I started the forum, and I was like, maybe there's like a business piece. And it kind of segued into that.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was gonna ask you, like, if you had that, like, business mind. Like, a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, they were like the type that were like making camps when they were 10 and like selling lemonade and like had that, but you're saying like you kind of figured it out as you were going.
Yes. I mean, I definitely like we definitely played like in my family. I don't think I was ever like known as like the business kid or business mind. I don't know that anybody was, and we happened to all be a bit business centric. But like I have like my youngest brother, we joke sometimes like we used to have this like thing where we would do favors for each other. We had like a favor business. Like we would like get paid or do, I can't even remember the ins and outs of it, but it was kind of like a business around doing favors for each other, something like
That's
that.
very cute. Yeah, so you really had the entrepreneurial blood,
You could
basically.
say that now, but I don't know if I would have like
But you're probably like more of an extrovert, like, because I feel like the introvert extrovert thing with a therapist is very, very hard to like sit and focus on one person for like, 40 minutes to an hour, versus like the introvert like loves that level of
So it's
connection.
so interesting that you say that, because I happen to be an introvert. Like I'm totally an introvert, which is why I think that like maybe I'm more of a therapist than an entrepreneur. And that, if you go by that, I'm totally not the extrovert type. I can do well in extroverted situations, and people think that I am. But even like you saw today, like to me, this is like extroverted, even though it's one-on-one, but I'm like, oh, this is a podcast. Everyone's going to be hearing it. For some reason, it triggers some like panic in me.
Yeah,
And
I mean, of course.
I'm like, run away, run away, run away. If I have to public speak, totally not my thing. I push myself through it just because I'm like committed to like overcoming these things. But I prefer much more one-on-one time. I'll go to a party, but then I'll need like, and I'll enjoy it every minute of it, but I'll be completely hungover and not from alcohol, like just from social interaction and the being on. And then I need to like take a detox from like the world for, a few days.
A few days, yeah, totally. I think it's interesting because people, I public speaking, I happen to really like it when I'm doing it, and like when I watch people public speak, I'm like, that's me, my calling. But then like when I have to actually public speak, I'm like, I like die for a week. Like I can't function.
Me too. Me too. And like this whole Netflix thing like really made
Oh
me have
my
to face it.
gosh.
And it's in a way good, because like if I wasn't pushed to face it, I would never face it. Because I feel like being an entrepreneur, you could hide behind a lot of like, you could hide up behind that. You don't have to be a public speaker. You don't have to, again, it definitely helps if you are,
You
but
could
it's not.
hire someone also. Like, you could be like the brains behind the business and then like hire out, and that's like totally fine also. But
Which is interesting that you're saying that, because like, so OK Clarity has been a thing for maybe 6 or 7 years, but like it only really started to take off, I would say like 2 or 3 years ago in a bigger way. And if I had to like put like the one thing, that like made that transition for me, was my decision to put myself on social media for the company, like to become the face of the company. That was the hardest thing for me to do. Like I fought it for so long, because like I said, I'm much more of a, introverted.
Hello, everybody. I am so excited to tell you that the Get Into It with Gila podcast is sponsored by OKClarity.com. OKClarity.com is the place for any Jew. no matter how firm or religious you are, to find a top-notch therapist, psychiatrist, coach, or dietitian, and it's completely free for you to use. OKClarity.com's professionals are vetted and have extensive experience working with the Jewish community. Yes, you can even find me there. If you're in the market for a therapist, coach, dietitian, psychiatrist, or the like, you want to check them out. If you don't find what you're looking for, they have a service where you complete a short form and they will personally match you, which I think is so, so cool. Important side note, if you are a wellness professional, I highly recommend joining their directory. Their team is amazing and I've received referrals immediately. They also really offer a ton of support. OK Clarity also has an amazing WhatsApp status with over 7,000 obsessed followers, and yes, I am one of them. Their WhatsApp is a free way to improve your mental health, and they post really great humor, so you'll laugh too, which is really, really important for our mental health, right? If you have WhatsApp, shoot them a message at 917-426-1495. Again, that's 917-426-1495. Have a great day.
And it was just so against my makeup, and but that was really important. So like, I do think that, like you said, entrepreneurs that are more extroverted naturally, I think they have a leg up, honestly.
Interesting, because I, you know what? I really like the whole introvert, extrovert, that you're not like one or the other. You're like a percentage. I think I always thought I was an introvert, but when I took the test online, how accurate is that? But I was like 51-49 to introvert, extrovert. And like, it's funny because I always had this conversation with friends, especially in seminary, like there are shy girls and there are quiet girls and there are loud girls. And, you know, like that, meaning I had a friend that was like really, really shy. Like when you met her, she like barely spoke, like, but she was like a good listener or whatever. But then like, when you got to know her, she was like really loud, like the type of girl who was like screaming at 2 a.m. But like, I don't think I'm really shy. I'm just like quiet. Like I'll never do that. That will never be my personality. But like, I think like, I love meeting new people and like, yeah, I think everybody gets a little drained from like social settings, even if they are extroverted, it's like a lot of mental drains. So it's interesting, you know?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think also because you're 49-51, I mean, that's like really, really close. Like you're almost tied. I feel like you'll, and probably many people are pretty close. Right. I wonder what it would come out to be. But I think that like, I heard once the definition is like the difference is where you get your energy from, you know, like what's going to fuel you. So like me being in front, you know, yes, I love meeting new people. Also, I find people fascinating and I love that. But the question is, you know, will that drain me or will that give me energy to like go and, you know, run a marathon? Yeah. For me, it's going to drain me.
Right.
But if I sit for a whole day quiet and like that's going and like not quiet, like in silence and meditation, but just like people that I'm close to and doing my thing and my routine and my structure and my food, you know, then I go and like party, you know? So like that fuels me to then expend energy. So I think that's like how they define it. Right. In a simpler, more basic way until it became a whole
conversation
of itself.
Well, what I was going to say is that I did a lot of research on it because I was like, I can't like the same, like what you said. I mean, I don't have a show on Netflix, but when I started to my business, I was like, I have to get over my fear of public speaking. And like, I have to make myself do it. Like, even though it's so scary, like, first of all, it's like a good, it's a good modeling for clients, right? Like I'm scared too, but I'm doing it. But I remember reading about it that introverts actually make the best public speakers because they have like, you know, like a lot of people who are extroverts, they overcompensate as extroverts with like their loudness, with like their persona, right? But like the introvert really does like make eye contact and connect. And even though there's a lot of people in the room, they might leave the stage and have to like hide for a week, you know, and not want to speak to everybody after. But the fact that they're like introverted and they're able to like get their point across and really have that like high, that high connection.
Engagement. And
engagement. Yeah.
Actually, I love that. Yeah. And I think I once heard also that like, if you're not nervous before a conversation, that's like a red flag because it means that you have no emotional investment in it.
Right.
And that's if your conversation or talk or whatever it is losing that emotional connection, that passion, it's over. Even now, right? So like I had this panic in the beginning of our conversation, but now I'm totally over it, thank God. And like, I'm passionately, I'm engaged, I'm here, I'm fully with you. It's like me, myself, I'm like my full self, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because like I'm an introvert, but I overcame that little hurdle and now I'm like fully here versus like, if I was an extrovert and this was like a piece of cake for me and I'm just like, let me get to my next meeting. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. I would give you just like, you know, off the cuff answers, have everything memorized and it would just be like, forget it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's why it's interesting. I think at least for me, how I like, make myself feel better, because like I'm always, my old me was like, I just wish I was an introvert, I wish, extrovert. I wish I could just do it. I wish I could just put myself out there. And like I remember when I first started, I did like these like free workshops, and I did one with Rachel Tuckman, who was like so nice and came to my house and we did it together. And I was like, I'm so nervous, like I can't. And she's like, it's good that you're nervous. It means that you care. And I'm like, no one's ever said that to me. Everyone's like, don't be nervous, you're fine. It's just your house, you know. And you're like, okay, but I'm literally gonna die, you know. So I feel like that reframe has like really, really helped me. At least that's how I make myself feel better. Like the introvert, like what you were saying before when you started, like the breathing. And I was like, I was thinking to myself, like over the course of these few years that I've been doing the private practice, like I got so good at like just sitting in silence when someone's crying, when someone's breathing, when someone's whatever. And it's like, literally, like you think in your head, like, are they going to start talking? Or are they just going to like wait for me to talk? And like, you just wait and wait and wait. And then they're okay. And it's like, whoa, like I just sat there in the space where they needed,
Holding
you know?
Space.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
And you're also modeling for them to do that for themselves, you know?
Yeah. It's so powerful. Like I think introverts are getting like the limelight, you know, we're getting there.
Totally. Yeah. I think it's all about like what you do, you know, like you could say I'm an introvert and I'm never going to public speak. I'm never going to do a podcast. I'm never going to do anything that scares me, because like you're hiding behind that label.
Yeah.
And I think that's a shame, and it could be any label, you know. There's also this book that comes to mind that I didn't finish reading or listening to, but I feel like I got the point of it. And it was like, personality is impermanent. And the whole concept of the book is just how your personality is so not permanent. It's so, it's so fluid.
Fluid.
And it's
constantly
changing. So like for us to be like, I'm an introvert and therefore A, B, and C, or, you know, is like, we're kind of sticking ourselves into something that's really wants to change and does change over time. So like even now you're much less of an introvert, or like you're able to do these things that like an introverted you, so to speak, would never do. Right. So I think that's just like an interesting,
I guess just labels in general put you in a box, and then they.
Yes. I hate labels. And I feel like that's like cliche for a therapist to say, but
yeah,
you know, I have friends that are therapists, and they tell me that they love labels.
Mm-hmm.
Like not that they'll label their clients and be like, but like in their personal life, they're like, tell me, like, doc, tell me what I have. Like, I want the label. And I'm like, doc, never tell me what I have. Tell me the symptoms and what I could do to heal them. Like, I don't want the label. So it's funny. I'm just, you know, I think it's again, preference, but
we could take this conversation in 100 ways, but I just want to say that about labels, that I've thought about this also a lot, that like, I guess I'm always just trying to like explain, like, let's say with body image, we'll go there for a second. Like, well, everybody's into being like the thin ideal, right? Like everybody wants to be the most beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And like when clients say that to me, I feel like maybe like my old, like in the past, I would be like, why, who cares, blah, blah, blah. But then now I'm like, you know what? We do live in a physical world. And the way that humans like assess things is by labeling and getting, she looks like this and she looks like that. And she went to this school and she covers her hair. She doesn't, not because we're judging them, but because we're assessing them. So like, I guess like just to neutralize that as well, like labels do help in a lot of ways. And yes, of course they could hurt as well. But if you have that, like, I guess, awareness of like, okay, I'm labeling for the sense of like, understanding, but not in terms of judgment. It's like, you know, like you could
for
always
sure.
see, you know,
100%. Yeah. I think there's a place for everything. Back to the introvert conversation. Like, I think that having a label, you know, like can do some good. And yes, even like within the medical frame, like, you know, if somebody has something, they want to know what they have so they could treat it, you know, but it's all like on a spectrum, I think. And overall, I think better to just like not pin the problem with labels is that we then have trouble being fluid with them, right? So it's like once you have it, it's there forever, or it's like stereotype forever. Even look at the labels of what beauty was, right? I feel like that changed over the course of the past decade, right? And past, you know, century. So like even the labels change, but we don't necessarily change with them because we're stuck with a label.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Really good point. So you started, okay, Clary. So you basically started it because you saw the need based on your clients. Like you had your network of support and they did not, meaning like you see a therapist for 1 hour a week, but you need so much more than that to keep you going.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So that part of the website was going well. Like people were connecting with the same diagnosis, or what was it like?
Very basic. It was like kind of like a forum. So like, if you know, like what Reddit looks like, but even like on a level. So that's how it was. We iterated that a few times. People were connecting.
Who's we? Like you and team?
So it's me. Yeah. So at that point I had a very small team. It was me. It was my mom was always like my CFO, you know, and she's a therapist too. So she was kind of like, my person that I would speak to, like, is this a good idea? Like, she knows the community. She knows she has
wow.
her clients, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had a developer at some point, like maybe after the first year, like I first built it on Wix, which was like, you do it yourself, you know, DIY. And then I was like, we need something more. So we got a developer, and that was like our first like big investment. So I think it was at that point, just like me and a developer.
Were you nervous? Were you nervous to invest like financially, or you saw the vision?
I saw the vision. Like, I feel like I have that in my head. Like, that's like something that comes naturally to me, but it was definitely nerve wracking. Like, at some point before it was like a business at all, before I was making a dollar, I left my full-time job and I had like a very small private practice. I was in the clinic and I was like, this is speaking to me. I want to devote 50% of my time to this. But like, I was single and I was like, I don't have to support myself right now. And this is my dream and I love this and I'm going to pursue it. And I'm just going to, you know, and I literally worked at a Starbucks for like a year and a half.
Wow.
And yeah, like I really did like the real, you know, people sometimes, not that we're like, you know, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. We're not at the 10 year mark and we're not yet an overnight success, but like people think that like, oh, you know, like okay, clarity is whatever. But like, I don't know what people think, honestly. I try not to go to people's heads.
Right.
But like, if you only knew how much like sweat and tears and hard work and Starbucks, you know, squatting over their bathrooms,
yeah.
work sessions for 7 hours a day went into OK Clarity, you'd be a lot, you know, it would open people's minds, I feel like. And it happens to be that one of the pieces that you're coming back to the forum piece, I'll just say right now, we don't have a forum community. I kind of substitute that for our Instagram community and our WhatsApp community. But people keep asking for the forum community to come back. At this point, we have so many people. When we had the forums and they were successful, we had like 1,000 people, you know, as registered users. And even with that, there was a lot of like managing that had to go into it. Now we're like 25,000 people wide in terms of our reach. And I feel like we have, you know, thousands of people using forums, and it would be a full-time job of more than one person to actually manage it and make sure that no one's suicidal and no one's this and, you know, and like, that's my hesitation in terms of bringing it back. And we don't have it back. And I feel like I've gotten criticism about that. Like, people are really mad we don't have the forum back. So this is my way of saying, like, I'm sorry, we're seeing what we can do, but it's like a piece that's not there yet. And I try and hope that like the WhatsApp community and the Instagram community like substitutes it at this point.
Yeah, no, that's really hard. Cause it's like, I guess that really was meaningful to people and helpful for people. And I don't know, I'm thinking like, I guess Facebook group wouldn't work, cause like you also have to like do all that work, but like, yeah, that type of thing, like Facebook group, people ask questions, people give support, resources like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's very similar. And the reason I didn't start with the Facebook group is because I felt like I want to build something that I would have used at this age. And I was like, I would never want to use Facebook. And I also feel like a lot of our community, I would say like maybe 20 to 30, maybe 30, 35% of our community is the Orthodox community. They're not even on Instagram, like a lot of them on our WhatsApp status, and they would never use Facebook. So I kind of feel like it's that's like the demographic we're dealing with, and they have different needs. So that's why I don't feel like Facebook, and it would, like you said, it would require a lot of the maintenance.
Yeah.
But
one day, God willing, you should do that.
Yeah. One day, God willing, like I never say never. And I do plan to bring it back in the works, but like, thank God, I feel like we're really serving a need. The directory is really helping professionals and consumers and potential clients. And I feel like the other communities, like we have the WhatsApp, the Instagram, is making an impact, you know, and
for sure
are able to get the support that they need. Even like, let's say with this new feature that we have where professionals like yourself do a live on Instagram.
Yeah. I love that.
Like, love that. And you're so brave that you're doing it, by the way, like kudos to you.
That doesn't make me nervous, believe it or not. It's the public.
That's so cool.
I don't see anyone. I'm going to be nervous because you have a lot of followers. And like, I don't like, you know, it's going to be also lives are very weird. Like you're talking on the screen and you have to.
But it's still so brave of you. And I love that you're doing it. And I feel like that's in a way like the best type of forum. Like every single night we have a different professional coming on. And for every single professional, practically, we offered people to ask Q&A, which means you can ask any of your questions. We didn't even get that many questions, which means that professionals will probably be able to get to every single one. So like, what better, you know, system is that? Because whenever we had the forums, you should know, everybody just really wanted to hear from the professionals. They're like, hell, you know, I want professional advice on this.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
I just feel like that's interesting too.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously lives are live. Like they're not the same as a, you know, texting
and a question. Exactly. But then another point that I could just say up quickly as I just remembered it, is that we put the lives now they're on our YouTube, yeah. And they go on the website. They'll be under your website on our website. Mm-hmm. And there's a comments enabled feature, which mm-hmm. means that people can respond on the, you know, like post comments, ask questions, you can answer, other people can answer. So there is that element, that community element. This is a new feature that we just got,
very cool.
Well, that's it. So yeah.
So we don't have so much time, but like,
I guess. Let me give me 1 second. I'm going to check if I could push my, let me just see what's going on. Hold on.
Sure. So I wanted to, we could always do a part two, but I wanted to hear a little bit about your perspective on intuitive eating. Like I know that OK Clarity has a nutrition, mm-hmm. has like, you could find a nutritionist there, a dietitian, but, I feel like, just because you're in the WhatsApp chat and like you're familiar with intuitive eating and you're open to it, like, did you have a change of heart? Like, were you ever into like dieting, weight loss, and then you like kind of shifted gears, or you're still like undecided?
Oh, that's a good question. So I feel like I have so much on this, and we could probably have like a whole nother conversation on this. And I would even like challenge you just because I don't know enough, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm very eerie to like be yes to this, no to this, especially mm-hmm. if I don't know something. So like people ask about ayahuasca and ketamine assisted psychotherapy. And I'm like, we have professionals on the site that deal with that. Like, I'm not the final say on that. Uh-huh. Same with intuitive eating in the sense of like, I don't know everything and I'm mm-hmm. aware of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, and I do think it's a great, like, I would never say it's not a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that would be foolish, but I think that there is so much misunderstanding around it. And mm-hmm. there's so much, almost like it's romanticized in a way mm-hmm. that turns me off, to be mm-hmm. honest, like in mm-hmm. a way, you know, mm-hmm. again, and I could be judging from the wrong sources, right? So like I'll go on Instagram and I'll see these people that look like they're anorexic themselves. Mm-hmm. And again, I shouldn't judge, but like, and they're touting, you know, stuffing cereal into their mouth and intuitive eating. And I'm just like, I should just go to your page. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hope
like
so.
That messes people up. Yeah. You know, like that. And these people have millions of followers. So they're not they have programs. So I'm not saying that they're sharing the wrong thing, but the sensation, it's sensationalized.
Yeah.
That bothers me. Right. But as a teenager, like even in Israel in seminary, of course, everyone was dieting. Everyone was terrified to come back with the 15, you know, the pounds. I don't know. They call it the 15 something. I forgot.
Freshman
15. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So like, I definitely was much more conscious and had a much unhealthier relationship with food. Like not as a teenager, I would say, but maybe like Israel time. Mm-hmm. Also Israel, I think, messes with your stomach a lot.
Yeah.
Very hard for me to piece apart, like what was my stomach and what was, you know, being away and being immersed in this like unhealthy diet culture.
Yeah.
But I think that being back home and back in a healthy environment, like it wasn't a massive struggle for me. Mm-hmm. But I do think that like, I speak to one of my friends about this. Like we have these conversations where a lot of times intuitive eating or health, let's talk intuitive eating because health at every size is something different, is just, it's at least to me, it's not explained enough in enough personalized way mm-hmm. that makes sense to everybody, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. I think that, I guess I would have to pull it apart more. I've thought about it a lot, but I think social media, especially Instagram, is not a good forum to learn about intuitive eating personally, and exactly what you're saying, because it's like a lot of pictures, there's a lot of instant things, you can't really explain it on one foot. Like I also think about this in terms of like let's say mental health, like the IFS model or the EFT model, right? Like things can be really misunderstood if you're just watching a live on it, or like people, you know, like I even think about this sometimes for myself, like I know a lot about intuitive eating and health at every size and nutrition, right? So like, let's say I'll like start recording myself, let's say for Instagram or whatever, and I'll show it to someone. They're like, you didn't explain X, Y, Z. To me, it's like, oh, but I already know that. Like, why do they, but they don't know that, you know, they don't know that. So yeah. And then I think it's just, maybe because diet culture and dieting and wellness culture and all that stuff is so controversial anyways right now, that just like throwing intuitive eating in just feels like totally opposite extreme. So it's just like, unless you really understand it or you read the book or you, you know, learn, like take a course, right. Like it's kind of really hard to understand that one foot. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And being even like myself as a therapist, and I actually specialized and I still work, I work with people that are in eating disorder, like recovery, but like very, very deep in recovery, meaning like mm-hmm. more like talk disorder, eating, body image. But in the past, when I worked in the clinic and earlier, you know, many years ago, my private practice, I would work with you know, eating disorders. I took actually like a specialty 3-year training, like course at CSAB. So like I was very, at that point, intuitive eating wasn't as, you know,
popular
as it is now. It was definitely like a thing, but it wasn't as what it is today. And, you know, so I do understand like the importance of it. And that's why I would never say like anything, I can't say anything bad about it. I just can't say that like I fully understand it. Like I'll always recommend and even require my clients to be working with an intuitive eating dietitian, and I'll be supportive of that. But I'll also hear, you know, like the struggle. A lot of times I feel like people have pre-existing conditions or sensitivities, especially if they have an eating disorder or past, or even not, even if it's just like IBS from anxiety or from family, or you're just Ashkenazi, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sensitive stomach.
Yeah.
And to say, you know, like you have to eat all foods, all, you know, because it's in your mind, or because, you know, or it's normal to be bloated, you know, every single day. Like those type of things are like, that's where I struggle with it. Like I want there to be a world where you can be intuitive and you can restrict, even if that's like a terrible word to use, because it's better for your body on some level. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yes,
like, I'm
totally.
Curious
totally.
What you say about that. Like, is, if you're intuitive, is there any place for restriction in your life?
Right.
I don't know, but in my world, there should be a place for that if it has to be, and it should be, it shouldn't feel like restrictive or deprivation, but it should be, like everybody is different. Like the same way we all look different on the outside, we're all different on the inside.
Right. Totally. So I think that I don't have so much time to explain it, and I hope I'll explain it tonight on the live, or you'll come back on and I hope you'll listen to episodes on my podcast, so you'll get like a little bit more clarity. But I think that that is where people probably get stuck. Even the, one of the questions, so I won't say what it is, but like, just is intuitive eating eat whatever you want. Right. So it's really not, it's actually like more of like a journey of like back to yourself. And the food is always a symptom of something else. You know, that as somebody who treats eating disorders, right. It's not the eating disorder is a symptom of something else. So whether you're using restriction to use restriction, binging, obsessive thoughts about food, obsessive thoughts about dieting to avoid other things in your life, or the habit just happened because you were put on a diet as a young person, you know, and like a lot of reinforcing those automatic negative thoughts of like, if you're fat, no one's going to marry you, and fat people are gross, blah, 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 all those thoughts, right? So intuitive eating really dismantles all that by the 10 principles, with like rejecting the diet mentality and getting in touch with hunger and fullness, right? And that's also like, just like the layers upon layers. Like I tell clients this all the time, like, you don't feel guilty when you go to the bathroom, right? You're not like, I should have peed less, I should have peed more, right? But we feel so guilty. I should have eaten more, I should have eaten less, right? And really, if we could just like strip everything down, it's just like a bodily function, hunger and fullness. We've just created all this narrative around you only could eat this way, and if you don't eat this way, you're bad morally, right? So that's why it's like learning about diet mentality, how much it's affected you, what is your hunger, what is your fullness. And another layer of that is like trusting your body, right? Like I often say, like nowadays we know, like we're not going to say to our child, like, go sit on your uncle's lap. And they're like, I don't want to. And you're like, too bad. Like, so we turn off the cues of the body, like, don't trust your gut, don't listen to your body. Right. So like, there's so many layers of that, especially with dieting. Dieting tells you what to eat, when to eat, and how much. So it's like, you don't even know when you're hungry and full. Right. So there's just like, then there's gentle nutrition and joyful movement. So a lot of self-care, like understanding, are you using food to cope because you don't have adequate self-care, right? So there's so many layers with intuitive eating. And then, so I always say, like, when you're ready to use food or gentle nutrition as a form of self-care and not self-punishment, that's when we'll talk about nutrition. So is it restriction? I don't like to think of it as restriction or deprivation. I like to think of it as like, you really want to go to the party, but you're so, so, so tired. So you're going to go to sleep, and in the morning, you're going to have a better day because you didn't go. So is that restriction? I don't view that as restriction. I view that as like making a choice that's good for you and your body and your physical health and mental health for something better. You know,
I love that. Yeah, I love that. And I wish that could be the message, like that on like the loudest message, you know, I
don't
know.
Right.
I look at the wrong things. I have to clean up my feeds.
Yeah.
But like sometimes I see these accounts that I think are legitimate. Like, I don't think these people have, you know, necessarily active eating disorders or things like that, but they're these massive intuitive eating, you know, gurus, so to speak. And I look at like what they're talking about, right? Like eating this, I was in the mood of this, so I'm eating this. And like, this is how much, like, And I'm just like thinking to myself, like, if I would eat that, right? Like I would get really sick, right? Like I'm not like sick, like I have to end up in the hospital, but I would have a yeast overgrowth, and I would have, you know what I'm saying? Like I would get like, cause for my body, like I eat that much sugar, like I will feel physically not good, like really not good, like,
right,
really
right.
Important.
Yeah,
But like,
totally.
if I tell that to some, like, if somebody, I feel like in today's world, some almost, it's a little bit like you have to tiptoe around even saying that because it's like, oh, then you're restrictive, like, especially if you're
Right.
thin, you know? Then it's
Right,
like,
right.
oh, you're not going to eat that piece of cake. And I'm like, no, because I don't want to have like a yeast overgrowth and have like
Yeah.
cuts on my lips because of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. No, that's a really good example.
I
I
feel
think
like
that,
it's just
yeah.
that's like where I struggle with it, you know. And it almost, I feel like our culture became that it's like there are two camps, right? It's like you're either totally
Diet
intuitive
or
or you have an eating
anti-diet.
disorder. Either
Yeah.
you're totally intuitive or you have an eating disorder. And there's not that room for that. Like you can be intuitive and it looks different for everybody. And it looks like
Yeah.
holding yourself back from that party, so to speak, sometimes. And sometimes going to the party and, you know, being hungover and dealing with the symptoms, like on
Yeah.
Shavuos, I ate too much cheesecake, not a binge, not even close to that. For my body, it was too much. And
Yeah.
then I ended up having those like cuts at the sides of your lips, you know, and I'm like, what's this from? And like, you know, my chiropractor is like, oh, you have too much sugar in your gut. And I'm like predisposed to that. And he's like, okay, so just change up your probiotic, go back to your clean diet, which is fun. Like for me, that's totally normal. And, you know, 2 weeks later, it's gone.
Right.
But like, had I known that, I probably would have been like, okay, a little lighter on the cheesecake. You know what I
Right,
mean?
right, right. But that wouldn't be, that really wouldn't be deprivation, would it? It would just be
Exactly. Of
making,
course not. No, I mean, I had a great
right.
time eating as much cheesecake as I wanted, but I would have had like one piece instead of four, and it would have been fine,
Right,
you know?
right,
Like,
right, right.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
I think it's one of those things that's a really, really hard to explain on Instagram. And that's why, like, I see some, I used to, I mean, I see dietitians doing like, this is what I eat in a day and why, right? I've seen people do those videos and I'm like, oh, that's such a great idea. And then, like, I would like take pictures and explain. I'm like, you can't do this on Instagram. Like, you didn't, you saw my kids eating noodles at, like, whole wheat noodles and like chicken meat sauce with zucchinis, but you didn't see that, like 10 minutes later they threw it on the floor and like I had to put them to bed so I couldn't post on Instagram that they actually didn't eat it. And like I'm like, this is crazy. Like, that's why I actually stopped posting a lot. Like, I'm still there and I still try to like share when I feel like something's helpful and I'm happy to come on the live when I can actually explain things. But like a Instagram post is not gonna explain intuitive eating. And maybe it's just the wrong wording. Intuitive eating, it's confusing for people. They think like intuitive means eat whatever you want, even though it's not really intuitive, you know? Like, intuitive is
Right.
so much more. Intuition is like more depth. There's so much more depth.
Right.
So
Exactly.
yeah, so
Exactly.
I get why it's confusing.
Yeah. And I wish that you know, I feel like the reason we're inundated with the wrong messages is because people that want to share the right and perfect messages are silent because it's not possible to do. Do you know what I mean? So
Right,
then
right.
like almost the wrong or sensationalized messages take over, and
Right.
that's the service. I would challenge you to just be like, you know, as much as you can put out content that's, you know, less sensational maybe, but
Right.
more informative and educational.
Yeah, I hear you.
Even around like restriction and intuitive eating, like what does that go through? I mean, I guess you could go through all the principles and explain each one, but I just feel
Right,
like
right.
I do sometimes feel like it's either you have an eating disorder or like severe disordered eating, or you're completely intuitive. And like that's the way it's like looked at. And I feel like that's doing a disservice to people.
Right.
I mean, and intuitive eating is looked at in one way, you know? It's like be perfectly in touch with your body and eat exactly what you want at every moment that you know you need and that's good for your body. It's like
Right.
almost a possible standard.
Yeah, of
The best you
course.
can do is be in touch with your body, do the best you can, know what you need to limit, if anything, and continue. It's like I feel like, I don't know, do you feel like there's like a destination, or do you feel like it's a journey? I guess that was like a question that I had for you too.
That's a really good question. I don't think anything is like a destination. Do you? Like, especially
Yeah.
like in therapy, like you're not like, okay, now I'm gonna get rid of my anxiety. No, you're gonna have to
Never.
manage your
Right.
anxiety forever, and like you're gonna
I
learn
love
more
that.
skills and learn more skills. So like, yeah, I guess like people always say to me, they're like, you're actually really more of a therapist than a dietitian, and I'm really not a therapist, but I feel like that's just kind of like, it's like a food therapist. Like, you know,
Yeah.
like I'm not a
Totally.
therapist, but I'm saying like there's just so many layers with the
Exactly.
I would love, you don't have time, but maybe we'll do a part two. But I would just like love to hear, as a mental health professional who has treated eating disorders, like how you think that it's become so important in the firm community to be so skinny. Like, that's become such an ideal, and it doesn't really make sense as like a firm person. Like, we don't, we believe in like looking good and taking care of ourselves, but we don't believe in like ad adopting the beauty standard of the outside world, and we totally have. So it's like really
Right.
confusing to me how that became like, don't gain weight or you're not going to get a shidduch. Like, that doesn't really even make any sense. Like, if people are born, now you see from your, you know, from your family, from your kids, people, you feed the kid the same food and one's skinny is one's fat. That's just the way it is. And we don't want to believe that, you know?
Right. We don't want to believe genetics. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I wish I had like so much to say on it. You know, like I try to like, I think, I don't know if this is personality or just mentality of mine, but it's like, I try not to like fight losing battles. You know what I mean? Like I try not to like change what people are going to care about. I mean, everything in our community, we're so connected to the outside world, right? We're on Instagram just like everybody else is. We're on TikTok just like everybody else is. We take the same subways, you know, we are
together,
right? What's the word?
Integrated. Like
integrated or whatever. Yeah. So
hopefully not so much, but yeah.
Right. Right. So I feel like, you know, I try not to fight losing battles. And I feel like because they have eating disorders, we'll have eating disorders.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
Like, and that's kind of like, now we just have to like deal with it. And hopefully I think the leg up that we have as Jewish people is that our healing could be so much more complete because we have Torah and because we have spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, because of that, we have that leg up that we have, like, we have the truth that we can then use to fight the noise and the detachment from ourselves and our truth. And, you know, so that's kind of like how I look at it. And I try not to be like, let's segregate more or let's do
right,
this.
Right.
All that extremism, I don't think is going to help us get any closer.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I view it. But if you have more to say on it, then I'm happy to hear, you know?
I know. I actually really like your answer because I feel like a lot of parents or tell me when you have to go, but I feel like a lot of people tell me this, like, well, I'm okay with my daughter being fat. And I use the word fat to like neutralize the term, like as a descriptor, you know, and my daughter, maybe even my daughter's okay with it, but no one's okay with it. So like, what am I supposed to do? Like, she's just not okay with it. Right. So I don't know.
Who's
there's no,
no guy. One, who's this generalized? No one. Meaning like,
oh, like she's bullied in school. She's not going to get a shit off. People always tell me like, you should put your daughter on a diet. Right. Or like, people say to me, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm really working hard on not having diet culture in my house, but like my 3-year-old's coming home with it. My 7-year-old's coming home with it. My 10-year-old's coming home with it. And I'm like, listen, your child will be exposed to diet culture probably every day, especially in high school, especially in seminary. That's not what we're fighting. You're not going to fight that, right? I like your answer a lot because it's very much aligned with that. Like, okay, so what are the tools? Like, how can you build yourself up?
How often do you look in the mirror and do you tell yourself out loud how gorgeous you look and how you love what you see?
Right.
Like, how often do you sit down to a beautiful, nourishing meal and speak beautifully about feeding yourself? How often do you have and indulge and not speak about how guilty you feel and what the number on the scale is going to be and how much you just eat and how you can't move because of how much, like, those are the things we could control. And I just feel like I just did a podcast 2 days, like last week on Thursday, I think. And it was about shidduchim, right? And it was like, what do you think about the shidduch crisis? And I was like, I don't even talk about a shidduch crisis and I'm single. Okay.
Right.
But I just feel like why do we have to like talk? Not because I'm like, let's not talk negative. I'm not that type of person, you know, but I'm just like, let's not pick a losing battle. Like whether there's a crisis, there's not a crisis. Like what can we do to empower ourselves to hopefully make ourselves in the best situation that we could find the best person for ourselves, you know, that's the question. So I feel like it's the same thing here. It's like, let's not blame diet culture. Yes, it's a thing. Let's not blame, you know, the non-Jewish magazines and Instagram and social media. Yes, of course it's a factor, but if it wouldn't be
the
Jewish magazine. Exactly. I laugh at them. Come on. They're so laughable.
I don't want to put down any Jewish magazine. Yeah. It's just like, it's not just because there's no women in the pictures doesn't mean like the weight loss ads are not, you know.
Exactly. It's just hysterical. It's funny. Like sometimes it's like actually like a recipe or something that I'm like, oh, I would try this. And like, before I know it, my mom throws it out. I was like, why do we even buy this magazine if we literally just dump it? Like,
And some of them are great. Some of them are great. I'm not trying to bash them at all. But
we're not saying specifics. Yeah. But in general, I'm just trying to say, like, we can always blame. There's always going to be a finger outside to point.
Right.
And I prefer to not point the finger at ourselves, but to look inwards and be like, how can I best control my situation? And that doesn't mean I'm perfect at doing this.
Right.
You know, of course, I wish that, you know, things would be different in external world in many ways. But I just think that it's a futile thing to put our energy
on.
And really, 100%. Like, we have so much power. We can change. Yes. You can educate people. I can educate people. You know, we can model our journeys. And I love what your answer in terms of like, intuitive eating not being a destination and it being a journey. You know, like that makes me feel so much better. Like now I feel like I'm an intuitive eater, because if you tell me it's not, then I'm like, no, I fell off the boat. And like, I feel like there's no place for me, because it's like, I don't have an eating disorder. I don't have disordered eating, but I'm also not perfect, you know? And I also have my things that I'm like, if I eat too much of this, I'm going to feel sick. And then it's just like, you know, but you don't know how much of that is. So it's just like that kind of being able to know that, like trusting yourself and turning into your own intuition and realizing that there's no perfection. Even Gila, who is, you know, guru in this space, so to speak, says there's no destination. It's a journey. And I think that's very comforting.
Right. And I know you have to go, but if you really do want to learn about intuitive eating, or anyone listening or your followers, like there is a book called Intuitive Eating by two registered dietitians.
I started listening to it. It was like 12 hours long. I got like a few hours in and I was like, I can't do this.
Oh, it's very, very, but you know what? It's very research heavy. As a dietitian, I loved it. I thought it was so well researched. I thought it was so well organized and cited and so important. Like, we don't want like fluff, right? But yes, totally. It could be boring, especially if you're not like into that. But like the authors Evelyn Tribbley and Elise Resch, like, I don't know if you've ever, I interviewed Evelyn and I trained with her. Elise Resch has been interviewed on many episodes, also not on my podcast, but you could Google, you know, put it into Spotify. Their whole thing is about, we are not perfect, and that there is no perfect intuitive eating. And the whole theme throughout the book is self-compassion and self-care, and like how we're, you know, we're trying to learn new things and implement new things and being kind to ourselves. And how would we talk to someone who we love? Why do we talk to ourselves so harshly? So it's like that whole thing is a misconception about being a perfect eater, being a perfect intuitive eater. It's like just portrayed poorly, honestly.
Okay, I love that you said that. You see, like, I had no idea. I didn't finish the book. I definitely started and got a few hours in, but again, like someone like myself, you know, I was listening to it. I don't even remember if it was like personally or professionally inspired, but again, there probably wasn't enough of a pull for me to actually go through the whole thing. But I think like these messages are so important, and I feel like if someone like me, who's pretty, you know, in the mental health world, doesn't know it, then I'm sure there are other people that don't know it, unless I'm just really living under a rock, which
no one people call me all the time and they're like, I got your number, could you help me lose weight? And intuitive eating is not about weight loss at all. So I'm like, did you read the book? Right. Some of them have even read the book. I'm like, okay, this is why you work with someone. That's why I tell clients, if you don't want to work with me and you don't know about intuitive eating, read the book, save your money. I don't mind. Like, I'm telling them, you know, listen to the podcast, it's free. But like, if you read it and you think that you should eat whatever you want and like, you know, sit in bed all day, you're just getting the wrong message. You know, it's just not, you know.
And I think intuitive eating and weight loss can coexist. You know, I don't think that that's like the goal of intuitive eating, but I think that it can co-. Would you agree with that? Like, is that?
Yeah.
Is that-
so it's very much like understood that it's not a goal of intuitive eating, because the more you focus on weight loss, the more obsessed you become, the more
you really you end up get to intuitive eating from a place of weight loss,
from a weight loss perspective.
Exactly.
Do sometimes people lose weight because they stop binging, or because they really pay attention to what satisfies them, or hunger, fullness, and they're not, people are so traumatized by exercise. They've been like abused with it, you know? So they're like, oh my God, I don't have to go on the treadmill to exercise. I could go to a dance class. I'm like, of course. You don't have to sweat to exercise. You don't have to kill yourself.
Just take a walk. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's therapy. Just like walking. Yeah. You have 2 feet. Like, oh my gosh.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. This is so much fun. And I hope you will come on again. So
yes. Absolutely. We'll schedule something. I mean, I feel like we got so much out of this. I don't know, 45 minutes that we had. Yes. I feel like I gave you everything. Like, I don't know what else I would talk about, but I definitely am willing to. So
you're fun to talk to. So even for that.
Thank you, Gila. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. It's been real. It's amazing. Thank you.
Yes. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you all so much for being here on my podcast, Get Into It with Gila. If you'd like to learn more about what I do and what intuitive eating is, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or follow me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. Thank you so much. Have a great day.